It's gonna be a good day. If you go the right way, you might die quickly or solve a mystery. What adventure will you choose? What would Jerry do?
Hey, y'all. And welcome back to What Would Cherrick Do?
A Choose Your Own Adventure podcast. I'm Eric.
I'm Chad.
And we're back again to be your co-hosts this evening, or morning, or afternoon time, or middle of the night time.
Whenever you like to listen to podcasts.
It's true. Whenever you're listening to this, we really like that you're listening to it, no matter what time you're listening to it.
Yeah.
That made a lot of sense.
It did make a lot of sense.
Well, you know, we can only go up from here, so...
Let's just call it Cherrick time.
Yeah.
welcome to Cherrick time.
Welcome to Cherrick time. It's howdy doody time.
It's howdy doody time.
Except it's not that time.
Because it's Cherrick time.
There it is. That's nice. All right. See, we're getting off on the right foot here.
Brought it back around. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, it's good to be back to record another wonderful podcast from another book by R. A. Montgomery. Seems to be an interesting one in store for us.
Yeah, it seems a little different from past books that we've done.
Perhaps.
So,
Yeah, a lot of stakes on this one, I think. So...
On a global scale, apparently.
Yeah, global scale.
According to the back of the book. Because, of course, as you all know, we don't read any of these books before we record.
This is true. We just dive right in.
We just dive right in with y'all.
And we make those choices and die or end or live.
Or succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? But hey, we really appreciate you coming on this journey with us. Real quickly here, I'm just going to remind you to plug it.
Yeah, please. Yeah, rate and review on iTunes.
We'd really appreciate it.
Check us out on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Shoot us an email at cherrickpodcast@gmail.com. And it's all that is Facebook/cherrickpodcast@cherrickpodcast. So
it's really simple. Cherrick, yeah. Cherrick, Cherrick all the way.
Peace, love, and Cherrick.
Peace, love, and Cherrick. We should make some shirts.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I like it. That's pretty good. Okay, so Chad, real quick, just, you know, catch up to folks. How did you find these books? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you all know I grew up in rural Kansas reading these books, as a young lad, and, they're a big part of my childhood, you know, rediscovered them in my adulthood on a trip home to the farm, and thought it'd be an interesting idea, we were talking about this visit with Eric, and you were telling me how you've also had like an intersection with these books kind of in your travels.
Definitely. Actually, it was very much a part of my travels. It was the time of my life when I was a pizza delivery driver.
Oh, okay.
And,
who'd you deliver pizza for?
His name was Giancarlo Ramboni.
Mm. That sounds very mobby.
Yeah, well, you know, for Southern Indiana, it was pretty mobby. I won't lie to you. He was kind of a scary dude. But, you know, it was Ramboni pizza, and it was really tasty stuff, but it was a terrible job. So often while I was driving, I was parked at stoplights and things, you know, I read as much as I could and made choices along the way. It wasn't necessarily the wisest decision nor the safest section of my history, but I made it through without any incident. And,
well, there
you know,
go.
Really kept me entertained. I really, you know, I looked for these things. This is really silly now that I say this out loud, but I looked for these things on audiobook.
Uh-huh.
And it makes sense that they're not an audiobook because how would you make those choices?
There's no way.
So, yeah, I felt like
it's
an
like
idiot.
Fast forward.
And just had to keep reading them, you
fast
know?
Fast forward to minute
right,
like,
exactly.
2014, rewind to minute 5-7.
See, Chad, if it was 20 years from now and I was doing it, I bet that'd be, like, totally feasible. Or even now, maybe. Like, you would
maybe
just say
now.
A or B, and you just
maybe
say
maybe that's our
A,
next adventure. Is to, like, record a Choose Your Own Adventure audio series.
Upgrade it to the digital era.
Yeah.
Really connect with the kids these days.
We can make an app.
On their iPads and touchscreeny things.
Yeah.
Neat. That's a good idea.
I have a lot of good ideas.
Shoot dang. That's why I'm your pal. That's why we're here recording these books.
If any of you listeners steal my idea, that's fine. Like, I just want a piece of that action.
Actually, that's not fine. We will sue you and your family up the ass.
We don't have a lawyer.
We will sue you and your family. All right, it's an empty threat. I got nothing else. Chad
what we will ask as for a settlement is for each of your family members to rate and review us on iTunes.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, you can take our idea, but 5-star ratings all around, please. Right?
Yeah, from every family member.
Well, tonight, y'all, let's get to it. How about, what do you say,
Eric? I mean, that's a good idea. We have a tendency to ramble.
Tonight we're reading Choose Your Own Adventure number 17.
Oh my god.
The Brilliant Dr. Wogan.
Who's Dr. Wogan?
We're about to find out. She appears to be a scientist.
She?
Yeah, it's a lady.
Go RA.
Yeah.
Breaking down those barriers in the 80s.
When was this book published?
I don't know.
1987.
Hey, nailed it. I mean, by that time there were many women scientists. But anyway...
Yeah.
Shall we just dive right in?
Yeah. So what do you say we come together as...
Cherrick!
And,
We just did.
We just did. Let's do it.
Let's go!
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay. Boom. Diving in. Sploosh. Well, R.A. wasted no time in this book.
None.
What's the first sentence, Chad? Dr. Wogan is missing!
Yep.
Something like that.
Pretty much. You nailed it.
Yeah. That was it.
That was exactly it, word for word.
So I'm not going to lie. Besides that, the like first two or three pages you read, I kind of zoned out on. I was a little distracted.
Okay. So let me, how about I'll catch you up and I'll catch everybody else.
That sounds great.
Cool. So we work for a research laboratory.
Oh, a laboratory.
Because we're in England.
Yes, we are, and we're fancy.
Yep. Called the Delta Group.
That does not sound fancy.
The year is 2043, and for the last 40 years, the entire world has been threatened by, like, talks of nuclear war. The Delta Group has been formed by scientists from all over the world, big countries, powerful countries, small countries, who've come together to find a way to negate this nuclear threat.
Nuclear deterrent!
And so we're very close. Our boss, Dr. Diana Wogan, has come up with a device that will neutralize all radiation. In essence, you know, making nuclear weapons...
Useless. Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And she's so close. Like, she's not quite there.
Mm.
So close to, like, getting this thing built.
Okay, but tell me if I'm wrong. Is it not also super dangerous? Like,
it can be.
Right. So, like, if that thing falls in the wrong hands.
Well, if one country, only one country has the radiation neutralizer.
Device. Yes.
Yeah. Then they could protect their country and bomb everybody else. The whole world dies except for the country who fired the missile.
Here's what I'm thinking, Chad. You ever seen any episodes of Phineas and Ferb?
Some.
Okay, well, so Dr. Doofenshmirtz has an evil scheme every time, right? And he's got a whole new big, evil, like, awful machine, which always ends in some sort of innator. So what if we just called this the anti-radiation innator? And then we'll just know that's what it is all the time.
Anti-radiation innator.
Yeah, that's it. See, okay. It's so simple. Yeah.
The ARI.
Ooh, the ARI! The anti-radiation innator!
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Dr. Doofenshmirtz, in case you didn't know. But I love it, the ARI.
The ARI.
Okay.
Okay, so this corporate stooge from the Delta Group, like, says there's only one person who can go... Because we don't... So Dr. Wogan is very protective of this research, and she wants to make sure all the countries in the world have it at the same time.
Naturally.
So there's not, like, this threat of only one country having it. So she's disappeared. She's gone.
Well, shit.
Right? But we don't know if it was because of a nefarious scheme. Somebody kidnapped her. Or she just went into hiding on her own.
Maybe because she knew someone
finish was going the to research come okay. and complete the device, the ARI, you know, and distribute it to the world.
Right.
So we don't know if bad things have happened or it's fine.
Okay.
But we are her assistant, her right-hand man. And they say, you know Diana better than anyone else. There's anyone who can find her. It's you, Jarek.
Of course it's us.
Yeah. Well, this would be a very lame book. It could be like, and if anybody can find her...
It's Paul Rudd.
It's Paul Rudd.
Boo!
And then, like, end of story. Like, then we're just, like, reading a normal book.
Where we go to our job and work 9 to 5 every day. And
yeah.
Yeah. Go home and be very lonely. And
drink tasty bevvies.
Eat noodles.
Yep.
Okay, but we don't do that.
We don't do that because they choose us to go find her. And we're like, yeah, okay, it makes total sense. Like, we don't argue this point. We're like, we'll go find her.
Perfect.
And we remember that she has, an island retreat off the coast of Turkey. And that island's name is Bozkata.
Bozkata.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so we're like, hey, great place to start.
That seems like a great place to
so
start.
So we go indeed. To Turkey, the closest city... to that, I forget the name of, because we jumped all around, is Kanakle.
Kanakle.
Yeah, that's my very Midwest-y, like, way to say this name.
No, folks, it's pronounced Kanakle.
We go to Kanakle, and we are, you know, meandering about, and we see a poster on, we notice this poster on a wall, and we look at it. And this lady looks exactly like we immediately recognize it as Dr. Wogan.
What?
Like, this...
Her face on a poster.
It is her face on a poster.
Okay.
And so the poster's all in Turkish, but we, like, translate it, and it says that it's going to be the special appearance of a great fortune teller named Zabil.
So what you're saying is we can translate Turkish.
We have a phrase book. We have a book. And the performance by the fortune teller is tonight. That's like middle of the afternoon right now.
Okay.
You know, it says like place TBD, like sign up at this hotel, you know, and then they'll let you know where to go at 10:30.
Okay.
So we're standing there and we're like, man, like, should we go to this thing? Like, that looks a lot like Dr. Wogan.
Is this meant just for us?
Right. Is this like Dr. Wogan's way of... you know, telling us, like, where to find her.
Right.
Oh, but while we're debating all of this, a guy is walking along the street, and he, like, slips and stumbles on a cobblestone and bumps into us. And as he bumps into us, he slips a piece of paper in our hand. Very, like, very stealthily.
This guy's a pro.
He is a pro. And in the piece of paper, it says to take the next ferry... to the island, Bozkata.
Okay.
And it says, you'll be contacted when you get there. Beware of the lighted steps. This is a quote from the text. And that Dr. Wogan lives, but there is great danger.
Beware of the lighted steps.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's our choice, is if we decide to stay for the meeting with the fortune tellers at Beale. We turn to page 7, and if we decide to go and follow the note and go to Bozkata, we turn to page 5.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, hit me.
If I was Dr. Wogan, and if I was really all right, and if I was actually trying to get in touch with my assistant, I would not put up a poster around town. Or maybe just in one or two locations, I would send someone to go intercept that person. I feel like this note is very to the point, very clear, and I feel that maybe we should trust it.
Very scientific, if you will.
Well...
You know what I mean? Like, very, like, facts...
Yes. Well, yeah, it's very succinct, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Dr. Wogan was going to write something to this or to try to get information to us without drawing attention to anything, I think this is a good way to do it.
But why do you think the fortune teller looks exactly like her?
That is quite strange. I don't have an answer for that.
Like, is that a trap?
Okay, so what if there is a villain behind the poster, what's their reasoning for doing that? Because it's not like, going to attract her, right?
Probably not, but it would attract anybody who's looking for her.
That's very true. Which could be a trap!
It could be a trap, or it could be a way for, like, someone to try and get in contact with... Like, how did this dude know that we'd be here on this street... Like, looking at this poster.
Well, Dr. Wogan's a really smart scientist, right?
But she didn't even know we were coming.
Well, but she would know that if she just disappeared.
She has, like, a network of spies around the city?
Maybe. And if she knows that she up and vanished without telling anyone, then we would probably be looking for her, and that we would know this would be a good place to start. I don't know. Granted, it seems a little far-fetched, but no matter what, somebody had to have been following us from some side to know exactly where we are right now to give us this note. Whether it's Dr. Wogan or the villains.
Or the villains. Either one.
It could very easily be someone under Dr. Wogan's care. My one question is if she did just vanish, or like, if she chose to willingly leave, why wouldn't she tell us? Because we're the assistant.
Why wouldn't she have just, like, wrote us a note that we found later? Be like, I'm fine. Right. You can find me here.
Right. That's my main question
And we're the only ones who know.
Yes. This all seems very strange.
It all does seem very, very peculiar.
But I don't know why, but I trust a straightforward note from a stranger more than a weird poster.
Didn't your parents talk to you about...
I don't know what that says about me.
Trusting strangers. My parents definitely didn't, but...
Hey, look, here's... All I'm saying is that in the movies, when someone slips someone a note like that, it usually is really important and it means something. And it's not usually a hoax, right? Like in The Rocketeer, the Rocketeer put it in Jenny's soup, and then she found it, and then the bad guy found it in her soup, and then everything was screwed. In The Pink Panther, they did it one time, I think.
We should definitely eat this note.
Oh.
To destroy it.
We should eat this note.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Should we do that before we decide what to do? Okay, quick. Oh, so tasty.
Yuck.
Gross. Paper. And ink. Chad, for real though, what do you think?
Yeah. Okay. We've made some very good points, pro and con, on both sides. Mm. I'm okay with following the note. Like, I think our intention in the first place was to go to the island.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, here we have, like, a piece of information kind of backing up our initial plan.
Yeah.
You know? And a good piece of warning advice, you know, of the lighted steps.
Okay, here's another question that just came into my head. Maybe you've already thought of this. Why, if Dr. Wogan is trying to not draw attention to herself, would she put her own face on a poster and show up somewhere downtown?
I don't think she did. Yeah, I don't think she would have done that.
So, okay, having that question in my mind, I think that we should absolutely not wait around.
I think there... Here's my theory on this poster. I think there could be a Dr. Wogan doppelganger. Like, maybe she has, like, a secret twin sister that nobody knows about.
Oh, like a decoy.
Like a decoy. So, like, people see her twin sister walking around town, and they think it's Dr. Wogan, and they follow her around.
Oh.
Like, this would be a very smart...
That's intriguing.
...plan.
Hmm.
If it is her twin sister, she probably definitely knows where Diana is.
Well, that's probably true.
I also feel like the twin sister's name would be Daphne.
Daphne and Diana?
Yeah.
Well, her name's obviously Zambeel, so you're wrong.
It's clearly, Zambeel.
Zambeel.
What stage name? Okay, no, but I think that you want to follow the note.
I really do.
Okay.
I think we should just go to the island.
Follow the note.
I think we should trust this stranger who bumped us.
Okay, Let's do it. We're going to follow the note, and we're going to turn to page 5.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to let you read the book.
That sounds exciting.
All right, here we go, y'all. Following the note.
Okay, folks.
Man.
That's not long at all.
No, and a lot happened.
And so, like, okay, oh my goodness, this is a tough choice. So, we get on the ferry, right? We leave Carnacle, and we're on the boat, and it's going to take a couple hours to get to the island. There's only 6 people on this boat besides us, all right?
Okay, including the captain?
And, well, I don't know. Sure. No, probably not.
Okay.
So, there's the crew, but then there are 6 passengers going to this island. Uh-huh. And we have each kind of taken a separate seat near the window spread throughout. So none of us are sitting next to each other. Nobody's talking. And we've been traveling for a long time. And a young woman in a rain slicker.
Yellow.
Yellow rain slicker. Yeah, so bright. Very noticeable. Probably super gorgeous. Gives us some signals. She nods her head at us. She gets us with her hand and kind of... you know, it's points like, to the back of the boat.
Like me.
Yeah, come rendezvous with me out back. And so she gets up, and sure enough, she goes out to the back of the boat. So while we're sitting there deciding what to do, a middle-aged man, well-dressed in a suit and, balding a little bit, he drops a pin near us. And as he bends down to pick it up, he rises, So he bends down, he gets it, he comes back up, and as he's coming back up from the floor, he looks at us, and he shakes his head, you know, in a no pattern, and he mouths the word, no. So our choice is, if we ignore the man's warning and go out to the deck to talk to the woman, we turn to page 21, and if we decide to listen to the man's mouthed advice and not go out to join the woman, we turn to page 92.
And we have no idea man who slipped us the note.
No, it doesn't say anything about that. I'm going to assume that it's a different man because I think that we would probably recognize the guy who bumped into us.
Okay.
That's just an assumption.
Sure, I think
But I think one. That Cherik is a pretty observant guy.
What if the lady in the yellow rain slicker just thinks like we're super attractive?
Well, then I think that we should go out there and get a little kissy kissy going on.
And then she's like, hey, huh? Huh? About it.
And maybe this is her ex-husband. And
we're reading really far into this, but
yeah. Well, and, hey, this is RA, man. There are many possibilities.
There are many avenues.
You cannot, throw out any possibility here. Another possibility is if we go out there, she might stab us and throw us overboard.
Also true. That's why we're in the back of the boat by ourselves.
Yeah.
But also a great place to share secrets.
It's just really frustrating to not know who to trust ever. And, yeah, I don't know. I think the safer option would be to stay here amongst the other passengers versus going out there one-on-one with someone.
Uh-huh.
Or I wonder if this man would follow us if we went out there.
I don't know. Like, we really don't have a lot to go on here.
We really don't. So I think that we might kind of figure more things out, perhaps, if we went to talk to this woman. If we went
to talk to this woman?
We might get more answers. We might get murdered. Who knows?
But if she know, like, if she's bad.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know where Dr. Wogan is, or she'd already have Dr. Wogan. She wouldn't bother messing with us, right? I feel like this is Nibuti all over again, where, like, everybody assumes that we know everything that's going on and is, like, plugging us for information when in fact we know nothing.
So you know? Maybe worst case scenario, if she is evil and then go out there and she's looking for answers and we don't have any, then there's nothing that she can really do.
Well, or she might kill us.
Just for knowing nothing.
For knowing.
I mean, that's fair.
For like knowing that she's, you know,
I mean, if she is evil, then she's obviously on the same trail that we are in thinking that Dr. Wogan's on this island.
And also, maybe we can be a little tricky and, like, get some information out of her.
Yeah. We could play, like, spy.
If we're, you know, be, like, very, like...
Yeah.
Subtle.
Yeah. Maybe get a little information,
like,
about
the... Be very, like, deceptive in our questioning. Like, you know, like... I don't know who Dr. Wogan is. Who is she again? How do you know her?
Yeah. With her mind tricks.
And then she's like, here's a picture of you two together last Christmas. We're like, fuck, okay.
Stab. Death. That didn't work.
Yeah.
So, do you want to do it?
I kind of feel like I want
to... You want to go talk to her?
I mean, we're on a boat.
We're on a boat. Everybody look at us. Because we're sitting on a boat.
Yeah. A lot of throwbacks.
Yeah. It's just, okay. You know, it's the forefront of the mind. You know, we have the same jokes, people.
Oh, we God. Got some new ones. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm in.
Worst case, she throws us all overboard, right?
Yeah.
Worst case.
Worst case. Worst case, it comes to an end.
And best case, like, maybe we learn something, and maybe we learn about, like, some of the bad people who are trying to go after her.
Best case, we fall in love and get married.
Best case. I mean, I feel like every book we find, like, that one female character that we want to.
And yet, Jerick has not found love yet.
Never. If anything, he's pushed himself further away.
Well, you know, his priorities are maybe a little bit different.
Or maybe he just knows that, like, he can never have that because he's just gonna, like, jump to a different reality.
That's true.
In, like, yeah,
it's hard to keep up with him.
And he can't do that to these women.
Puts a toll on their relationship, for sure.
Yeah.
So, that being said, should we go check out this lady?
Yeah, no, let's totally do it.
Okay! Well, we're gonna go talk to this woman and ignore the man's warning. Let's go to page 21.
Stab, 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 stab.
Okay, everybody just thinks that we died, Chad.
We didn't die, but we're did about not. To.
Okay, but my like, prophetic stab option might still be coming true.
Yeah, also true.
So, we get up, we move to the back of the boat slowly, the man who tried to warn us frowns and is upset that we've ignored him. It's already dark outside, and we kind of sit next to the woman, and we both face out toward the sea, and we don't look at each other. So while she's talking to us, we don't know whether she's, like, lying or truthful. We can't see her eyes or anything. But she says we're in great danger. She's the only one on this ship that we can trust.
She's the only one.
You know, beware of the others. Stay close to me and speak to no one. Dr. Wogan awaits. And we're like, who are the others? And she says, they're your enemies. You don't need to know anymore. It's not important anyway. And we remember the note. You know, yeah, like, you will be contacted.
Didn't say by who or when.
We do not know when or where. Is it her? Is it the man who dropped the pen? We just don't know. And out of the corner of our eye, then, we see two men tiptoeing toward the door leading to the aft deck that we're on. We start to turn to warn the woman sitting next to us that the men are coming, but then we notice a glint of light on a metal object in the woman's hand. Is the knife intended for them or for us, Chad?
So what are our options here, Eric?
Well, Chad, we could decide to jump ship and swim for the island. Turn to page 64.
Uh-huh.
Or, if we warn the woman that the men are coming, we turn to page 22.
So should we stay or should we go now?
Should we stay? Speaking of, we have no new jokes, folks.
This is clearly episode
this is a,
15 well, yeah, throwback what, special.
Yeah. Should we stay or should we go now, Chad?
You want to know where I'm initially?
I really do.
I want to stay.
I do too. I think.
I have no idea why.
Well.
Okay, one, she seems very trustworthy.
Two, I think jumping off of this boat is a little bit like a ridiculous of a move right now.
Right, because these men probably have guns. It's 2043.
Right. They have laser guns. So, here's what I think is going to happen if we stay on this boat. One of two things.
Like, she defeats the guys?
Well, okay. So, no matter what, it seems that we have two parties on this boat, right?
Yeah.
Either they're the good guys and she is evil, or she is the good one and they're evil.
Correct.
So, either way you slice it, if we stay, she's going to try and kill us. Those guys might be able to help us and save our lives.
Yep, or she's going to try and kill them.
And she will be awesome at it, and we can help her. But I don't think...
You don't feel like any one of these things ends up with us dying.
I mean, I don't think so either. I think one of them could, but in like a really stupid way. But I feel like we should stay on the boat, and I think that we should tell her, and I think that we should trust her. And maybe this is really foolish, but I'm just a sucker for a lady in a rain slicker.
Well, and Diana is not going to send like four guys for, you know what I mean?
Right.
We're not going to be contacted by like a conclave of gentlemen in suits.
No, yeah, that's a very good point.
It's going to be, like, very subtle. Like, one person, like, gives us the nod, you know?
Okay. Well, then I think we both know what we have to do.
Jump. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You had to say it.
Yep. I did.
No, Chad.
No.
We're not jumping. We're not swimming for the island.
That's not Cherrick.
No, we're much lazier than that.
We don't run away from a fight.
Yeah, we fight to run away. Okay.
That's probably true. And there probably is like seven examples of when we ran away from fights.
Probably. Yeah, we could go back and find those for sure. Although I feel like usually we do choose to fight, even for, like to our detriment. Yeah.
To our demise.
Okay, so we're going to warn the woman that the men are coming, and we're turning to page 22. Well, this is just the silliest of the silliest decisions, Chad.
It seems fairly straightforward. But well, maybe that's...
R.A. has a habit of giving us an out. He's really good at letting us make these decisions and then saying, well, you, are you sure? You've gone this far, but if you really want to go back, you can still. Giving you this option.
Yeah. Okay, but let me tell. So here's what happened. We didn't die.
We didn't die!
Huzzah!
Go us!
And so these two men come up and they like flank us. And one has a gun and the other has a stiletto. Like, not a shoe.
Like a knife.
Like a knife.
I was a little confused for a moment, but Chad explained it to me, too.
Yeah, stiletto's like a long, pointed, like, blade.
Like a shoe blade.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Nothing like that. But think, like, the heel of a stiletto. Like, that's how stiletto heels, like, got their name from the stiletto knife.
Okay.
It's like long and pointy and thin.
So you can wear it as a shoe and you can stab people with it.
Yes. Neat. Like, did you ever see that movie, The Kingsman?
Oh, come on. You're not... No. Like, I mean, I love that movie.
With, like, the fake... With the metal legs.
Oh.
And,
okay. Yeah. Like, she didn't actually have legs. She just had spikes on her feet.
Yeah, stilettos.
See, I thought you were going to, like, the shoe blade thing where he kicks it out with his heel. No, and I'm like, no. Chad, that's a classic Bond trope. Kingsman didn't come up with that.
No, the lady you with the metal man. Legs. Like, the pointy part of her legs would be, like, stilettos.
She's a badass. She was, like, awesome.
She was wearing stilettos and also her feet were stilettos.
Right. And her name was Gazelle. Yeah. Because she was like a gazelle.
Yeah, because she jumps.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
Okay.
But no, this girl, our friend in the yellow raincoat.
Slicker.
Is that her name or what we're calling
her? No, it's the yellow rain slicker. That's what it said.
Okay.
I just never heard it referred to as that before, so I think it's nice.
Okay. So she pulls out this shiny metal object that we thought was a knife. But, it, like, a gas shoots out of it, and these guys become totally, like, this is, like, I take control of you, gas.
Like, giggly, like they start laughing.
Giggly, laughing, and they, like, throw their weapons overboard, yeah. And then she can, like, give them a command, and she's like, sit on this deck until dawn. And they're like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever, sounds great.
And they sit down, and they sit down. Don't have to worry about it.
And then she's like, hey, listen, Cherik. She's like, I like your style, but... what we're getting into, this is some serious shit.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's not for the weak of will.
Right.
And you need to, you know, if you're coming, you're in. Like, if you're in, you're in. She's like, you can stay on this boat, go right back to the mainland, and you'll be safe, and you can go home.
Now's the chance.
Now's the chance. If you get off of this boat, like, you're in the thick of it. And these two bad guys were, like, thieves from the town.
Mm.
So they were definitely bad guys, and she's definitely, like, the good lady.
We're so smart, Chad.
We are so smart. So our decision is to, like...
Stay or go.
Yeah, stay or go. Like... We could stay on the ferry and, like, go home. And so the choice is, if you decide to stay aboard the ferry and return to the mainland to work out a plan or to get help, turn to page 44.
Or to get help.
If you decide to go to... If you decide to land on the island and go to Dr. Wogan, turn to page 102. So I think Eric was saying it's pretty obvious that we should, like, get off the boat and go find Dr. Wogan.
Absolutely.
Because it's, like, our mission.
That's what we've been trying to do this whole time.
The entire podcast.
What's the... Okay. That set aside, is there actually any point to going and getting help? I don't...
How do we know that the help is really help?
Well, and what help is going to help? You know? Like, anybody that Dr. Wogan can actually trust is obviously going to be on this island already, or going to get there, or be around her. So, I don't understand what going back to the mainland, to that city, and getting help
like
would do.
Like, police?
Yeah. What? They're not gonna...
What are the cops gonna do? And how do we know anything. That they're not dirty?
Right. Nothing's really happened yet, and so they wouldn't... I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that that's a good option right now. If we wanted to just get out clean... Then great, that's our chance. But we don't want to do that. We want to meet Dr. Wogan. We want to see what's going on. We want to help save the world from nuclear destruction.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, let's move along then.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling. We're going to turn to page 102. We're going to get off of this boat.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to go see our boss, Diana.
All right, let's do it.
Yep.
Let's follow the rain slicker lady. And the plot always thickens.
It does. Like a good gravy.
Like, just like a good gravy. That's an exclamation that I like to use sometimes. Good gravy!
Good gravy! Great Caesar's ghost!
Gordon's grandiose gardening skills!
Sweet spicy raspberries!
Muffins!
I don't have another one. I'm
sorry. That's all right. I said muffins.
You did, but you said it emphatically, it was, so it worked.
It worked, right? It's amazing. Okay, folks, let's catch up here. We don't have any muffins, nor did muffins have anything to do with what happened.
Yeah, none of that stuff even mattered. Okay, so we get off the boat. We're like, hey, lady, I don't know who you are, but I'm down. Like, let's roll. Immediately after getting off the boat, we are surrounded by a group of men who shove us into a wheelbarrow, tie our hands, like shove us into a gag our mouth, like shove us into a burlap sack, and start to cart us away. And like we hear a shout, like a woman's voice shout, like as all this is happening,
yeah.
As we're being carted off.
Yeah.
And but. In the midst of all this, the handcuffs were really, like, crude. It was, like, twisted wire. So we, like, managed to free our hands. We managed to get the gag out of our mouth. We're still inside of the burlap sack. Just about as we're about to bust free of the bag, they like lift us up and like throw us into a van or a truck.
Mm.
And so our choice is kind of fight
now
or wait this out and see what happens. So we could like bust out of the sack, like fight our way out of this situation.
Maybe go find the woman again.
Who knows? But, if they know that, you know, if they see that we've gotten out of our restraints, like, they'll definitely re-restrain us if we lose, right?
Mm.
And probably even better the second time.
Probably.
But if we, like, just chill and we're, like, we're almost free and, like, we're just going to see where they take us, you know, who knows where we'll go. So, if you decide to put up a fight, turn to page 59. If you wait to see what happens, turn to page 65.
Oh, man. These choices have been so difficult and really good.
Yeah.
First instinct, Chad, I want to fight.
Really?
I do.
Because and not just to argue with you, but I am very much on the other side of this choice.
You want to see where we go?
Yeah. In this case, it's very much about the destination, not about the journey.
Absolutely. Are you thinking that the destination
will reveal more about our plot?
True, but it also could reveal the end of us.
Yes, also true, but so could busting out of this bag.
True.
We don't know how many men are there. Like, I mean, we're super awesome.
Here, okay.
Yeah, but there could be like 15 men.
Why is everybody after us? Like, I'm assuming when we heard her voice and nothing else, like, they didn't kidnap her. Maybe they did.
I don't know why everyone is after us.
Maybe it's just because we're Cherrick.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, Ari's a sick, twisted guy, you know? Sometimes.
I don't know. I think my fight or flight instincts are just kicking in. And we got a shot right now. I kind of want to take it.
Okay, but do you remember one of the other books where we, like, chilled in the trunk of that car?
Yeah.
To, like, see where it took us. And it took us right to the place where we needed to be.
Yeah.
Even though we, like, very much could have gotten found out.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, they'll take us to, like, their hideout. And either we'll learn more about the people who are trying to find Dr. Wogan and potentially stop them and, in turn, save Diana.
Uh-huh.
Or we can, like, try to get away and just go find her ourselves. Which, who knows, like, they might just follow us.
Okay. I see where you're coming from. You know what I mean? I see where you're coming from. We might be of more use to her, like, kind of getting involved with the people
finding Diana and trying to find out more about who's trying to find her.
Okay. Kind of like going behind enemy lines sort of a thing.
Yeah. Like, if we can figure out, like, who these people are who are trying to get at her, that's probably more useful than trying to be like, there you are.
Oh, also, we let all these people here to you. Oh,
also, like, people have been following us for, like, the last 10 hours. We have no freaking idea.
Okay.
You know, like, there's a guy on the street, and there's, like, people on the boat, and everybody knows who we are, because we're the most famous person in Turkey.
Apparently.
Apparently. We're a minor big deal.
One of these days, we're going to be a major big deal.
One of these days.
Okay, I mean, you have convinced me. I think that maybe we should just chillax and see what happens while we sit here and don't do anything. It slightly pains me to do this, but I think that you have some words of wisdom over there, and I'm willing to trust you on that.
Yeah, like, we'll see.
Okay, well, can I take over?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to turn to page 65 and wait and see what happens next.
Goodness.
I want to touch a thing.
We want to touch it so bad. It's right there.
I want to touch
it. How could we not? It's something to be opened and to be read, and folks, you have no idea what's happening. Okay, we're in the moving van. It's a bumpy road. We wait, right? We decide to wait. It's super chill. We don't hear anything for a while. Summoning all of our Cherrick strength and energy, we kick out of the burlap bag with an enormous lurching thrust, and we shout, "Yeah!" Like we're a ninja, and we're about to take on all these evil dudes.
Yeah, and there's nobody there.
There's no one there.
Absolutely
we're
no.
We're all by ourselves, man. The van is completely
like
empty.
Like a fool.
Yeah, but we were a dramatic fool.
Oh, we killed it.
Yeah.
Just totally slayed it. They would have been so scared.
They would have been terrified, dude. They would have fell on their asses. So the van's empty, but we notice something peculiar on the floor of the van. It's a book. It has no title on the cover or on the spine. It's very plain, unlabeled. There's a bookmark stuck in it. And as we're examining the book, the rear door of the van swings open as the van hits a bump. So our choice is to look at the book and turn to page 81, or to forget the book and jump out of the van and turn to page 112. And Chad and I both know that we want to look in this book. There's a bookmark in there, for God's sake. It's meant for us.
I think, here's what I think, that it could be like Diana's journal. Dr. Wogan's, like, journal. And she was kidnapped by these same people, like, taken in the same van, and she dropped this book.
See, that seems really convenient to me. I feel like this book was put there on the floor just for us.
Yeah, by Dr. Wogan.
What?
Maybe.
I don't know about that. But anyway, I think that we should read this book.
I mean, I definitely want to read this book.
Okay. So
like, why can't we grab the book and jump out of the van? See, now this is a very... It's a book.
Like, right. But maybe it's really enormous.
It's like... Name the biggest book you can think of, and then think, can I grab it and jump out of a van with it?
Salty the Singing Songbook. He was enormous. He had legs and arms.
Maybe. But like, I'm, you know, like those giant dictionaries?
Like those
great big, like it's 20,000 pages.
Yeah, but it's still pretty
But
small.
It's still like, I can lift this up and jump out of a van with this book.
Well, that's wishful thinking, Chad. We can only look at the book or jump out. We cannot take the book.
I'm just wondering, if we jump, do we grab the book and jump? Like,
versus like staying
story?
In the van and reading it?
Yeah.
No, it says, if you forget the book.
Yeah,
like,
that
we're,
is
like,
what it
we
says,
don't care
but
about
that...
the book if we jump. That's what that implies to me.
Yeah. It...
I think we got to read
it. You know
what
implying does.
Makes an imp out of you and lie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It makes an imp out of ply and imp. I also killed the cat.
Oh, that cat is so dead right now.
So dead.
Let's open the book.
I know, I'm with you. Like, it's probably... Like, I probably jinxed us because a minute ago... As we were reading, I told Eric that we were totally slaying this book. And we're probably making, like, the one choice we've made so far that we're gonna die.
Well...
But, like, we have to read this book.
Our track record here doesn't really work in our favor. Because most of the time when we touch things,
when we
die.
Touch the thing, it never works out.
But I really think that this book is intriguing and that we gotta touch it and open it because
like
there's something
important
in there for us.
In there.
Yes,
it's a leather bookmark.
It's really important. So we're gonna turn to page 81, folks. I'm gonna keep reading here and we're gonna see what happens when we read this book.
No.
Do you wanna repeat what you just said, Chad?
I cursed loudly.
And very passionately.
And with hand gestures.
That's true. He flipped me off, folks. Or maybe it was the book.
The book. I mean, and you for narrating that bullshit.
Well, that... Okay. Look, don't kill the messenger is all I have to say about that.
Well, they didn't...
But seriously, folks...
Didn't they kill Joan of Arc? She was a messenger. Precedence.
Oof, that got real dark. We didn't get burned at the stake, man.
No.
So,
who knows?
The funny thing is... The first paragraph that we read was like exactly what we had just been discussing. Like, curiosity has always been one of our strong suits, it said.
Yeah, it has. Yep.
Which it definitely has. You know, the book was dropped there. It's too tempting to ignore. It must have been put there for a reason. So we start reading it. And we guess initially that it's a translation of an old folktale. It tells of like a powerful leader who overcomes an evil empire or whatever for the good of the people. And the leader is constantly being chased and harassed by the evil people and the corrupt. And we're starting to think it sounds really familiar.
Like, this sounds a lot like this book I'm reading right now.
Why did it get here and what's going on?
Like, was it called Choose Your Own Adventure number 17, The Brilliant Dr. Wogan?
Well, we don't know because it didn't have a label on it. It's just, you just gotta label these things.
And then
label makers were invented 30 years ago.
Skip ahead to the part where it gets like super freaky and interesting and then starts to piss me off.
The story then goes to describe like the leader escaping to a remote island. And like the more that we read in this, the more we realize that it is exactly what's been happening. And it ends, this story ends successfully because of the return and help of a young, trusted associate. And at this point, we gasp. We're like,
what?
Oh my goodness, this is us! And on the page, we're reading it. It says, Cherrick.
Like, it says it, our name.
It says our name, Chad. It refers to us.
And
the date of the story...
is today's date!
Is today. It's today. We drop the book. We're terrified. We drop it. We're frightened as hell. Somehow, Chad, we don't know how, but somehow we seem to have gotten our hands on a book from the future.
Well, it says that Dr. Wogan had been experimenting with time travel as
well. Aside from the ARI?
The ARI, yeah.
Yeah, she had been working on experiments in time travel. And we wonder if she had a hand in this. And then it just says, the van bumps along the road, leading to a destiny of ours. Whatever happens to us is clearly beyond our control. And we don't know what happens because that's the end.
How is that the end of the book?
No, it's just the end of the choice that we made. To read the book!
I know, but...
So this
how is
like,
that the end of this book?
The
you
book
know what
that
I mean?
We were reading ended successfully because of us. But because we chose to read the book from the future, we seem to have negated its success, which would then be a space-time continuum disruption, in the words of Dr. Emmett Brown, which would then possibly bring around the end of the universe as we know it, because we have just... reverse the actual events of what could have happened in that alternate timeline.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
It's the end of the world as we know it. But I feel fine. Except we're not fine.
Because we're totally...
because it's the end
of this story.
And
all right.
That's a bitch.
Okay.
So that really took a strange turn.
It just made me super angry because it kind of like piqued my interest with like the fact that it's a book from the future and now like time travel is a part of this and like that's a real twisty turn.
Right, that we didn't have any inclination to beforehand.
Right.
But also what I think is really incredible is that you kind of called it.
I did?
Well, you said, what if Dr. Wogan dropped that book for us?
Yeah.
Which... I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily what happened, but it was her journal, and it was about us, and it was in this van.
Yeah.
So that was, bizarre.
That's twisty.
Yeah.
Shit.
Twisty shit. But here we are at our first ending.
So we have these, you know, revised set of rules. We can
do.
Go back to... any choice. I don't think we need to go back that far. I think we've been fairly successful.
Yeah, I think there's just a few maybe that could be potentially worth going back to.
So, either we could go fight the bad guys before we ever get back in the van, I think would be a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yep.
So, like,
the one that I was pretty passionate about.
Yeah, you were pretty passionate about that one. Like, fighting the bad guys instead of staying in the van.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just forget about the book and jump out of the van.
Now that we're here, I think we should jump out of the van.
Yeah, you know, I feel good about where we've gotten. I still feel like fighting the bad guys would not have turned out well.
Right. Well, and that's my concern. If we go back to fight the bad guys and that's an ending, then we're done.
We have another respawn.
Right, but we already took the other choice.
Yeah, good point.
Which I guess we've already done for any of these.
We've done that for all of these.
That's a good point, too.
Let's just hope that the one we choose is not also an ending. Yeah.
Okay, well then I think that we should definitely decide between these last two. Do we jump out of the van now without reading this stupid book?
Yeah, which was a complete waste of time.
That is a waste of time. We knew it. We touched the thing, Chad. He gets us every time.
Every time.
We're always like, oh, Cherik's learned so much. He's so much wiser than he used to be. Bullshit! We fell for it again.
Except for when it comes to our curiosity. Which we could have given up in like episode 6.
Okay. You know, if we went back to that now, I would probably think about it a little bit more.
Would you?
I would, maybe.
You were very passionate about it.
I mean, on the one hand, yeah, I mean, it makes us human, and it's really important, and I feel like curiosity does not always kill the cat. But for us, it seems to always kill the fucking cat, Chad.
It kills Cherik.
Oh.
All right. I think let's jump out of the van. Let's jump out of the van. Just to the last choice. Let's jump out of the van and see what happens.
I like it. I'm going to give it back to you. And we're going to page 112.
Sounds great. Like, you know what pisses me off? Is like these books like set us out to find a task and then we like never get to accomplish the task.
And for the stupidest reasons. Okay, like there's no good reason that we could not continue from here.
None.
Folks, what happened?
Name one good reason why we couldn't have continued from this ending.
There's not a good reason.
You can't.
Because we jumped out of the van without reading the book, and then we saw the roof of Dr. Wogan's laboratory. Yeah,
so we successfully jump out of the van. We, like, steady. We're, like, weigh our chances of, like, living through this jump. We're like, we got this. We're an expert climber.
We got this.
Diver, like, we got it, you know? And we jump out of the van, tuck and roll.
Tuck and roll.
And we...
You can't go wrong.
Like, end up in this grassy bank on the side of the road, and we see the van driving away. And then we see Dr. Wogan's... The villa... the roof line of her villa.
Yeah.
And we're like, whew! Glad I made it out of there. Now off to find Dr. Wogan. The end of the book.
That's not the end.
Yeah.
We're setting out again to finish our task.
But we don't get to read anymore because the words "the end" accompanied that.
But that's so dumb.
It's so dumb.
So that's it. We can't go any farther.
We can't. No.
We should have chose to jump out of there and beat all the guys up.
Maybe.
That's a bitch.
I don't know what choice gets us to find the doctor.
We were doing so good.
We were doing so well.
I mean, it seemed at the time that we were doing really good.
Jumping out of the van seems like a great decision.
I mean, it was a great decision. We got free. We're ready to pick back up on the trail, and it just won't let us.
Oh, man. Sometimes these books are so infuriating.
This one is particularly infuriating for me right now.
Like, it really hooked me, and I was super into it immediately.
Like, it did. Like, nothing happened. I think that's my frustration here, is that neither party, to our knowledge, has won or lost, right? We're still in the middle of the journey.
And it's over. For us.
We didn't.
For Chad and Eric, this journey has ended.
And currently for you folks as well, because we've used our respawn and we can't go back to our choice because we've already used the other half of the choice. And here we are, stuck, trapped like rats. And thus we decide to abandon our own rules again, which, I mean, we've done.
While.
I don't know.
We haven't done that in a while.
Do you, I mean, there's a lot of me that wouldn't be opposed to it. Not gonna lie. But maybe we should stick to our guns here.
Maybe we should stick to our guns. You know, like, it's very disappointing.
It is. But they don't always have to end happily, I suppose.
They don't.
In fact, very few of them have.
You know, there's been a couple.
There have. And that makes those, like, extra satisfying, I think. You know, like...
Yeah. Well, when we do it...
Yeah.
Like, in, I feel like episode 11 was so successful.
We really nailed that one, yeah.
That was so validating, and, and I loved it.
Yeah.
But I think this one...
Just gonna have to end like this.
Maybe we'll come back to it again sometime.
This would be a great one to come back to. This really would be. I would be excited to get into this book again. But folks, for the time being, that's it for us.
That's it for us. That's it for this book. Choose Your Own Adventure number 17, The Brilliant Dr. Wogan.
So far, none of you have taken the initiative to go out and find some of these books and read them yet. Which is
maybe you have, but you haven't told us about it.
Fair enough. But, you know, at the end of every episode, we ask, hey, folks, if you go out and you find this book and you read it, let us know what happens, because we don't.
We want to know.
So if you do find this book and you take the other choices, man, I really would have liked to find Dr. Wogan.
I would really wish we could have found her.
That would have been awesome. Because we don't know shit.
And if you tell us, seriously, if you go read this... and you find a different ending, and you email us, I will for sure as shit read that email on this podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you want to know, we want to know, nothing, I don't know. Yeah, so yeah. No, and a double no.
Everybody wants to know.
Everybody.
But anyway, so, I mean, I think that's...
Sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
So that cookie definitely crumbled.
That's the way it is.
Walter Cronkite.
Hey, just a couple quick thank yous. Thank you to Jacob and Danielle Prestige for our amazing theme song.
Thank you!
Thank you to Trevor Dubert of Dubert Creative for our amazing artwork.
Hey, we love it.
And thank you, our fans.
Listeners, we really appreciate you.
For, you know... keeping checking us out and making us want to keep making these podcasts.
Yeah.
So, I think.
I guess that's about it.
I don't think we got anything yeah, else.
That's just done. Kaput. Kibosh.
Yeah, that's.
Put the kibosh on Dr. Wogan.
Who knows? Maybe. I mean, I don't know if somebody put the kibosh on Dr. Wogan.
We never will. At least not for a while.
Not for a while. Maybe not ever.
Maybe not ever. I don't know. Just going to be one of the life mysteries, I guess.
All right.
Well, that's it for today, folks.
See you later, kids.
Hope you enjoyed it. We did. A little frustrated kind of there at the end. Yeah.
But also a very good read.
That was a great story. We were super excited about it. Maybe you could tell. Hopefully you could tell. No matter. We'll catch you next time here at What Would Cherick Do? Again, I'm Eric.
I'm Chad.
And we've been Cherick.
Peace, love, and Cherick.
Peace, love, and Cherick. And we'll catch you later.
Bye, y'all.
Peace.